Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
I'm Dwight Falk, and you're listening to Live by Every Word here on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com. Thanks for spending some time with me today. There are quite a few people in society that are religious. They have a belief system. They're very serious about it, very sincere. And at the same time, they're not actually following God. How is that possible? How can somebody be religious and be sincere and really be giving an effort to follow a belief system, but not actually be following and obeying God? Well, we can look back historically to see how and why that is possible. As a matter of fact, we can see why it's impossible to really obey God without the addition of God's Holy Spirit. We can see this when we look at the example of ancient Israel. Now, up until the time of Israel, mankind on the whole had been denied God's spiritual knowledge. There were a few that God worked with specially, but most people didn't know God's knowledge. We take it for granted today that there are Bibles just about anywhere a person could go, and the Ten Commandments are fairly well known. At least people have some sort of an idea about them, but that wasn't always the case. But God did give Israel, physical Israel, knowledge of His law, His government, and way of life. This is revolutionary information. They understood about His law, His government, and His way of life. It was written down for them. And they could read it, they could think about it. And yet Israel didn't live according to God's laws. They didn't live according to God's laws. They failed to keep the covenant that they made with God. And, of course, they promised God. They said they would follow Him. God said, I'll give you physical blessings if you follow my law. And they said, we'll do it. Every word that you've said, we'll do it. Why couldn't they follow God? Well, it's because, as we'll see, they were missing the power of God's Holy Spirit in their lives. And that's the same reason that people today, in many cases, feel religious, want to be religious, attend a church. They may even look at the Bible occasionally, and yet the majority of people do not follow God. They just simply can't do it, even though in some ways they want to, at least according to their understanding. But we need to look at the example of ancient Israel and see how necessary it is to have God's Holy Spirit. Look at Deuteronomy 7 and verses 6 through 11. We'll look at a few passages today. So if you have a Bible, you could get it out. We could look at these together. And if not, maybe write them down or remember them and look them up later. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6, it says, "For you are a holy people unto the Eternal your God. The Eternal your God has chosen you to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." So God was choosing Israel to be a model nation, to be a nation that would set an example of how to obey God. Verse 7 says, "The Eternal did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Eternal loved you and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, has the Eternal brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Verse 9, "Know therefore that the Eternal your God, He is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." So there's a great importance placed there upon loving God and keeping His commandments. Verse 10 says, "And repays them that hate Him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates Him. He will repay him to his face." Verse 11, "You shall therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I commanded you this day to do them. God wants people to obey his commandments and his laws. For those that disregard God, disregard his laws, live in a way that is hateful towards his law, there will be a reckoning for that. There certainly will be. The correspondence course, which is free at thetrumpet.com, if you don't have that, please sign up for it. It says, God chose the people of Israel above all other nations on earth to be his own nation because of his love for and promises to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As God's chosen nation, Israel was to set an example of obedience to God for all other nations to follow. You can read more about that in Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 8. And of course, that will happen. Israel will be an example to the entire world of how to obey God, but that will be after the return of Jesus Christ. The quote continues and says, but ancient Israel failed. Instead of assuming the leadership role among the nations by keeping God's commandments, the Israelites followed the ways and customs of the pagan nations around them. They utterly failed to become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation and an example for the world to follow. They failed. They didn't fail because of lack of knowledge. They knew what the laws of God were. They were given the statutes. They were given the judgments. They were given his form of government. Oftentimes, many people will say, well, if we had more knowledge, we'd be able to solve the problems that we see around us. Herbert W. Armstrong used to write about that a fair bit, where the scientific community or the governments of the world would say that exact thing. Well, if we had enough knowledge, if we understood enough things, we could solve any problem. But ancient Israel had the knowledge. They had the knowledge. And yet, they didn't solve their problems. In fact, as we just read there, they failed. They had the knowledge, but they couldn't follow it. God was offering Israel an incredible opportunity. Why couldn't they follow through and obey God? Well, some very basic passages show us the reason why. These are passages that are very well known, and yet, how many people really stop to think about what they're saying? Notice Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. This is a very important truth to remember. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That doesn't say the person across the room or your neighbor or somebody else. It says the heart. That's every human heart. And of course, when it talks about heart, it's referring to the thinking, the emotions, the mind. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's human nature, as it's called, which is a carnal nature influenced by Satan, who is the god of this world today still. You can see that in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, Revelation 12. He deceives this whole world. He's the god of this world. And that heart, influenced by Satan, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the heart ancient Israel had. That's the heart that all mankind has today, unless that heart's being changed with the power of God's Spirit. Notice Romans 8 and verse 7. Romans 8 and verse 7, another very powerful scripture. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, or that means it's hostile against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. See, this was ancient Israel's problem. They had enough knowledge. They had God's Ten Commandments. They had his statutes and his judgments. They had his government, but they didn't have God's Spirit. They had this carnal mind, and that mind is enmity against God, or it's hostile. Even if just passively, it can be a passive hostility to where people just don't want to talk about God, or it's sort of embarrassing, or or, you know, they just don't want to get into those types of things. They want to think about something else. There's a hostility towards God's law. But what about, say, the religious of the world? There are many people that follow different religious movements, and it'd be easy to think, well, certainly they couldn't be hostile to God. I mean, they're religious. Well, what about the law of God? People will often talk about love, which is great, but the love of God is that we keep His commandments. What about the commandments of God? How much do you hear about keeping the law of God in the letter and in the spirit? How about keeping the Sabbath day holy? That's the seventh day. That's Saturday. How about keeping that day holy and refraining from sporting activities and refraining from going to work or taking some sort of a pleasure trip into town or something like that, things that people often like to do on Saturdays? Oh, well, that's part of the law of God. That's holy time. But people are pretty hostile towards that, aren't they? When you really stop and think about the specifics of God's law and God's way of life, I think most would have to admit pretty easily that, yes, there is a hostility towards that. There definitely is. There is a hostility because people have a carnal mind. Even those that are trying to be religious and sincerely, without God's Holy Spirit, that carnal mind is just hostile towards God and God's law. Notice 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 11 and verse 14. It says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." So the carnal mind, it doesn't think about what God has in store. How would it even know about that? How would it even know what God has in store for mankind? Verse 10 says, "But God has revealed them," all these truths, "He's revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things," yes, the deep things of God. If you want to know about the deep things of God, you need God's Holy Spirit. It's not just a surface understanding. There's a depth, great depth. It's unsearchable depth in the Scriptures of God. You can just keep going deeper and deeper into them and understanding it more and more. But it takes God's Spirit to do that. Verse 11, it says, "For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him?" In other words, there's a human spirit in mankind. That's what separates us from the animals. That's why we think and make choices and decisions and become educated and develop skills, and animals have instinct. That's the difference. That is the spirit of man. It continues and says, "Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God." We need God's Holy Spirit. Yes, a person could read the Bible without God's Spirit, or they could memorize it. Many people have, or portions of it. But without God's Spirit, they're hostile to it. They don't really understand it. They don't understand the depths of it. Verse 14 says, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." That's a great passage. You know, a person could hear a very powerful and inspired message from God, but if they don't have God's Spirit, it sounds like foolishness. They're just not that interested in it. They have other concerns, other thoughts, things that are more pressing. And it just sort of goes in one ear and out the other. They might have heard the words or read the words, but it was foolishness. It just didn't mean a lot. It takes the Spirit of God to really understand God's truth. And ancient Israel did not have that Spirit. That's why, even though they could read the Ten Commandments the same as you and I can, they didn't have a heart to obey God and to follow them. Not like God wanted. What about you? What about me? We can read it, but what do we do with it? The Correspondence Course says, "Until Israel, God withheld knowledge of the right ways of human living from mankind. To Israel, God gave his statutes and judgments, as well as his spiritual law. But Israel as a whole was not offered God's Spirit, and God's perfect laws did not, without God's Holy Spirit, solve the nation's problems. The problems and evils Israel faced were of a spiritual nature, and a carnal mind without God's Spirit cannot come to grips with spiritual problems. The many decades and centuries of ancient Israel prove that. Again, look at all the advancements of modern society. But again, at the same time, look at all the continued problems and escalating problems. How come they can't be solved? Well, it's because they're spiritual problems and they can't be solved with physical knowledge. You know, they want to solve the problem with homelessness. Well, how do you solve that? Just give people more money? Well, that's a physical effort to solve a spiritual problem. To solve homelessness, you need spiritual answers. There's a lot of things that need to change. There's laws being broken that need to be kept, and those problems would be solved. Laws of God that keep the families together, that get people's thinking going the right way. That'll change that problem or any problem we could think of. But just throwing more money at something or whatever the physical solution is or attempted solution never really solves the problem, does it? Certainly hasn't in my lifetime, and I don't think it has in yours either. The correspondence course continues and says, when the first man, Adam, rejected the tree of life and took to himself the knowledge of good and evil, he limited his power and ability to do good to the level of his human spirit. Without God's Spirit, the Israelites were also limited to the acquisition and understanding of material knowledge, even though God gave them knowledge of his spiritual laws. And thus they could not fully comprehend, let alone obey, the spiritual intent of God's law. I mean, what a powerful quote that is. They did understand, say, a physical type of goodness, but they couldn't come to the depths of really having the goodness of God because they didn't have God's Spirit. That's where it comes from. Humans are the same today. People try to do nice things, and they do some things that are could be considered good on a certain level, on a human level, but yet the problems aren't solved. They're not solved because to really do good, it has to come from God's Spirit. The law of God cannot be fulfilled without the Spirit of God in action in a person's life. The quote says, one of the purposes of this nation, Israel, was to prove by human experience that man without the Spirit of God within him cannot be righteous. Righteousness doesn't come from man. It doesn't come out of a man. Sometimes people think that, well, if you really get down to the depth, the core, the essence of the human, there's a lot of good there, even though they did maybe some bad things. But they're really a good person. I'm sure you've heard that. Often that comes up at, say, a memorial service of some kind, a funeral service. Person did some things they shouldn't have done in life, and they say, yeah, but they were a good person. They just got off track and so forth. Well, there's not anything good in man. Remember Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is what? Is it good? No, it says it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But the fact that it's deceitful means that it tries to look good. That's the deceit. That's the deceit of it. Goodness only comes from God and has to come from God's Spirit. That's the only place it comes from. It's impossible to really obey God without the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's what ancient Israel proved. That's what they proved. Notice Deuteronomy 5, verse 28. It says, and the Eternal heard the voice of your words, when you spoke unto me, and the Eternal said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto you. They have well said all that they have spoken. Verse 29, oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that I might be well with them and with their children forever. See here, God gets down to the heart of it, no pun intended. They didn't have a heart in them to obey him. They said, all of your laws, all of your commandments, we'll do it. We'll do it. We want those blessings. That sounds really good to us. But they did not have a heart to obey God because they had a Jeremiah 17:9 heart. It's a carnal heart. It's desperately wicked. It's selfish. It's self-centered. It wants for the self, but it wants to look good. It's deceitful above all things. So deceitful, in fact, that we don't even know our own heart. Only God can really show us what our heart is like, because we think we're good. Most people think they're pretty good, you know, or at least they're better than the guy next to them or somebody else that they knew, or they're not any worse than anybody. You know, there's a lot of ways to rationalize it, but God says in Jeremiah 17:9 that that heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. And we read in Romans about how that carnal mind is enmity, is hostility towards God. And God said of ancient Israel, as we just read, "Oh, that they would have a heart in them to obey me." It takes God's Holy Spirit. That's what we need if we're going to really obey God. Notice Deuteronomy 31, verse 20, our last passage today that we'll look at. It says, "For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that flows with milk and honey," talking about the promised land here, "and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant." God knew what they would do. He knew what they would do. As he said, they would be blessed. You know, they would come into that promised land because God had promised it unto their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God fulfilled his end of the bargain. But, and then the people ate. They were waxing fat, and they didn't feel like they maybe needed God as much anymore because they had food and they had what they needed. And so what did they do? Well, they turned unto other gods. They got into paganism, pagan religion. They were still religious. I mean, they had customs and festivals, and they did all kinds of things. You can read about that history. They really liked it, actually. They got into it quite a bit, a lot of idolatry. But they didn't serve God. They didn't keep God's law. They didn't have a heart to obey God. God's truth wasn't a mystery. I mean, they did have his commandments, his statutes, his judgments. They understood those things, at least for a time. I mean, they had them in front of them. It was written down. They could read it. But they didn't do it. They didn't have a heart to obey God. How many people today have a Bible in their house and maybe even read it occasionally? That would probably be a few because most people don't read them, but even read them occasionally, but just don't do it. Not really. Well, that's most people because they don't have the Spirit of God. This is the truth of the Bible. It takes God's Holy Spirit to obey God. Here's a quote from the Correspondence Course. It says, "God knew the Israelites would break the covenant he made with them, but he wanted to teach mankind a valuable lesson through Israel's experience and horrible example." Remember, they were supposed to be a positive example. They ended up being a horrible example. It says, "God started his chosen nation off with all the natural advantages of a superior heredity. The Israelites came from the God-fearing line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yet despite this favorable heredity, and despite having knowledge of God's government and laws, Israel utterly failed to qualify." They didn't obey God. They lost their blessings. As a matter of fact, they went into captivity. And so, again, fast forward to our time today. Well, many people think that sufficient knowledge would solve every problem. Just need some more knowledge. I mean, is there an 11th commandment out there? Are there another 10 that are hidden somewhere that would solve things? We've got what we need. It's written down. The basics are written down, and of course, God reveals more from his word all the time through his apostle. But those basics are written down. You could go find them in any bookstore. You could find them on your, download a Bible app to your phone. The information's out there. The basics of God's law, they're out there. But people's minds are closed to that truth. And they don't want to obey it. They're hostile towards it. Israel's example proves that without the Holy Spirit from God, man's mind is incapable of receiving and utilizing knowledge of God's spiritual way of life, as summarized by his spiritual law, the Ten Commandments. It's really something to stop and to think about. Just going to church doesn't make somebody righteous. Having God's Holy Spirit empowering them to obey the law of God, that is righteousness. It's God's righteousness. Obedience to His laws, empowered by the power of His Holy Spirit. That comes from God, and it's only possible with God's Holy Spirit flowing in somebody's life. And if you have more questions about that, there's a lot of information at thetrumpet.com that you can look at, including The Incredible Human Potential. It has a wonderful chapter in it, Just What Do You Mean Conversion? And there's lots of other material that covers this as well, including the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence course. And I encourage you to sign up for that free. That is at thetrumpet.com. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me. And until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.